Welcome back to the Deep Dive. And today, this one feels a little bit different because we're really just talking to our own church family.
Yeah, this is for us,
Yeah.
for Harmony Christian Church.
Exactly. We're going to take Pastor Kent Wagner's latest message from
Uh-huh.
commonplace to conduit and just break it all down.
Right. And the goal is super specific. We want to give you a toolkit, for your Connect group discussions this week, so you can go in and really get under the hood of what he was talking about.
And honestly, having been there were a lot of moving parts to this one. I mean, he had props on stage, some really heavy Old Testament stuff that went by fast. And that whole tension between grace and works, I think that's going to trip some people up.
For sure. It's a message you have to wrestle with. It starts so simple, right? With a piece of plastic pipe.
Yeah.
But it ends with this, a pretty severe picture of judgment. It's not one of those five ways to have a happier Tuesday sermons.
No, definitely not. So let's start where he started, the pastor's retreat. He opened with this story, and I gotta be honest, when I hear pastor's retreat, my immediate thought is, well, it's not excitement.
It's boredom.
Yeah.
Absolute boredom. We're
Yeah.
just picturing guys in sweaters, debating Greek prepositions.
Exactly. Total snooze fest.
Yeah.
But he said it's a survival thing. Pastors are always pouring out, pouring out, pouring out. And if you don't have a space to pour back into each other, they just run dry.
It's that
Jeez.
oxygen mask rule,
Yeah.
But the real hook of that story was the question one of the guys asked.
What do you pray right before you go out to preach?
Which is such a vulnerable question. And the guesses from the congregation were so funny.
Oh, they were great. Please don't let me trip.
Or don't say something stupid.
Which is a valid prayer. I've prayed that before meetings. But Kent's answer, it just changed the whole direction. He said his prayer for the last year has been three words.
Make me a conduit.
A conduit. So let's stop there because that's the whole metaphor. He had a prop on stage.
Yeah, that piece of gray electrical conduit.
And he made that joke about it being like the perfect weapon for a middle schooler to whack his brother
You
with.
did, but technically, what does a conduit actually do?
It's just a channel, a
Yeah.
protective route. Its
Yeah.
only job is to get power from the source to the outlet.
And here's the key part. The conduit itself has no power.
None.
It doesn't generate it, it doesn't store it, it's just the pipe.
And that was his point about his role, and really the role of all of us at Harmony. If he thinks he's the power source, the whole thing breaks down.
Exactly. Without the wire inside, and the electricity from the grid, it's just a piece of plastic. It's useless.
But then he brought out the second prop, and this is where the visual, I think, really landed for
The
me.
bucket problem.
Yeah, he had a piece of conduit with electrical tape wrapped around one end.
Right. And if you tape off the end of a pipe, nothing can flow through it.
It stops being a channel and it becomes a container, a bucket.
And that's where the spiritual conviction starts to set in. A bucket just receives and holds. It hoards God's grace or your time or your money.
It's that me-centric faith. God blessed me. God gave me this. And it just stops there.
And Kent's whole point was, God isn't looking for buckets. He's looking for open pikes. If that tape is on the end, and maybe that tape is selfishness or fear or just being too busy, the power stops with you.
Which brought him to the title, right? From commonplace to conduit. Because it's easy to feel like a conduit when you're doing, spiritual things.
Right, like leading worship or going on a mission trip.
But what about the commonplace? The mundane moments?
He used that example of his toddler painting his fingernails.
Which is an exercise in patience. Or waiting for the microwave at work. We've all been there.
Oh, yeah. You're just staring at the spinning plate. You're in waiting time. Your life is on pause until the burrito is hot.
But the conduit mindset asks, who's standing next to me? So when that coworker starts talking, are you just annoyed, or do you see it as a chance to route God's power, his patience, his encouragement to them?
It's a huge shift. It turns a dentist chair into a mission field, the drive-through line. It sounds intense, but if you're really connected to the power source, why wouldn't it flow in the break room?
And to back all this up, he went deep into Matthew 25. And I think for a lot of people, this was brand new.
Oh, this was the highlight for me
Yeah.
structurally. You have two super famous parables back to back, the parable of the bags of gold or talents.
And the parable of the sheep and the goats.
And we almost never hear them preach together. But Kent pointed out in the Bible, it's one continuous sermon from Jesus. He doesn't even take a breath.
So the second story is the key to understanding the first one.
Precisely. The one bag servant who buried his talent
Yeah.
is the prototype for the goats in the next story. He was a bucket, He hoarded what he was given to protect himself.
Okay, but before we get to the judgment, we have to talk about the hyperlink.
Yes. This is so helpful. It's when Jesus uses a specific phrase that's meant to trigger a memory of an older scripture.
Like clicking a link on a website.
Exactly. And the phrase here is Son of Man.
When Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory.
Right. To us, that just sounds like he's saying, I'm human. But for a first century Jew, that is a flashing neon sign pointing directly to Daniel chapter 7.
And what's in Daniel 7?
It's a cosmic courtroom. You have God the Father, the Ancient of Days, on a flaming throne, and then riding the clouds of heaven, a figure like a Son of Man appears.
Wow.
And he's given authority and glory and sovereign power over all nations.
So when Jesus calls himself that,
he is explicitly claiming to be that cosmic judge. He's saying, I'm the one who's going to sit on that throne and separate the nations. It raises the stakes from a nice moral story to the final verdict.
And speaking of verdicts, that brings up Gehenna, the place the worthless servant was thrown. Kent mentioned he visited it.
The Valley of Hinnom, yeah.
And there's a stage there now, like for concerts.
Yeah, you could go see Taylor Swift there, apparently. But back then, it was the city dump for Jerusalem, where they burned trash and the bodies of criminals. The fires never went out.
So when Jesus talks about the weeping and gnashing of teeth, he's using the local landfill as his picture for hell.
The most visceral image of being discarded and worthless he could find. If a tool doesn't do its job, you throw it in the scrap pile.
Okay, so this brings us to what I think will be the biggest discussion point in the Connect groups, the tension between grace and works.
It's the elephant in the room with this passage, for sure.
Because we're taught, right, Ephesians 2, saved by grace, not by works. That's foundational. You can't earn your way to heaven.
Absolutely. Core of the gospel.
But then you read Matthew 25, and Jesus separates the sheep and goats based entirely on what they did.
I was hungry and you fed me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like a checklist for getting into heaven.
So how do we put those two things together?
Well, Kent used a phrase I thought was really helpful. He said, you don't earn your salvation, but you effort in your salvation.
And he used the Chick-fil-A analogy.
Which is just brilliant. Everyone gets Chick-fil-A.
So break that down.
Okay, you walk into Chick-fil-A, there's a guy in the uniform, he's got the headset, he looks the part, you order a sandwich,
yeah,
and he unwraps it and eats it himself.
That would be unreal.
And he never, ever says, my pleasure.
Oh, he's definitely not a real employee then. That's day one.
Exactly. His actions prove he doesn't actually work for the manager. He's an imposter, even if he's wearing the shirt.
So the works, feeding the hungry, visiting the prisoner, they aren't how you get the job.
No. They're the proof you're already on the payroll. If you are truly connected to God, whose love and generosity, that stuff has to flow through you. If it doesn't, the connection isn't real.
A bucket is like the employee eating the customer sandwich.
That's it. And it's a scary thought because it forces you to look at your own life for the evidence. And what's wild is that both groups in the parable are surprised.
Right. The sheep are like, when did we see you hungry, Lord? They weren't keeping score. They were just being who they were. It was natural.
And the goats are just as shocked. When did we see you and not help?
Which is the really chilling part. They would have helped if they knew it was Jesus in disguise.
Totally. If the king had shown up with trumpets and angels, they would have rolled out the red carpet. But they missed him because he looked like a beggar.
Kent's story about his high school election captured that feeling of shock so well.
Running against Brent Metter.
The popular jock. Everyone thought Brent had it in the bag. Kent was literally preparing his concession speech.
And then they announce over the PA system, junior class president, Kent Wagner.
Total shock, expecting one reality and getting the complete opposite. Now imagine that feeling before God.
You expect to be welcomed, but he says, depart from me, I never knew you. It's sobering.
Which brings us to that last story, the homeless hug. For me, this is where the rubber really met the road.
Oh, it grounds all the theology. You have this busy businessman, right, rushing to a meeting.
Sees a homeless man, and his first instinct is the bucket instinct. Protect my time, protect my comfort, toss a few bucks, and go.
We've all been there.
But he feels this nudge, not just to give money, but to give a hug.
And Kent was so graphic, he said the man smelled awful, like yesterday's trash. Every part of the businessman wanted to pull away.
But he did it. He hugged him, and in the middle of that hug, he has this lightning bolt thought.
I am hugging Jesus.
That's the whole thing. That's Matthew 25. The person you think is an interruption or a nuisance is actually the king in disguise.
It changes everything. It changes how you treat the barista, how you talk to your kids. You have to rip the tape off the conduit.
So let's bring it home for harmony. Kent's three-part vision for us as a church of conduits.
Okay, it was. Find your purpose, find your people, and grow as a disciple.
And find your purpose isn't just about your job.
No, it's about taking what you're good at, spreadsheets, coaching, working with your hands, and realizing that's the pipe. God's mission is the power. You can be a conduit accountant.
And find your people. Well, that's why we do connect groups. You can't be a conduit in a vacuum.
You need to be connected on both ends.
And then grow as a disciple. The shift from bucket to conduit. The example he gave about having to fire someone, that was heavy.
So heavy.
Yeah.
Are you praying for that person before the meeting? Are you treating them with dignity? Or is it just a cold business transaction?
Right. It's about letting the flow of grace go through you, even in the hardest, most commonplace moments.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the challenge for all of us this week, before we even get to our groups. The sermon ended with a warning, not a warm fuzzy.
No, it was somber. The reality is you can be in the church building and still be a bucket.
The question we all have to ask is, am I a conduit or am I a bucket with tape on the end?
You can't just answer it quickly. Look at your calendar, your bank account. Where does your energy actually go? Does it flow out or does it just stop with you?
Because the goats didn't know they were goats until it was too late.
Use your group this week. Ask the hard questions. Check your blind spots. We all want to hear, well done, not depart from me.
That's the mission. Rip off the tape. Let the power flow. We hope this gives you plenty to talk about this week. Go be conduits. We'll see you next time on the Deep Dive.